The following is a production of Central Christian Center and Pastor Hank DeLotte.
Well, I couldn't hardly wait to see you guys today. Man, I was so excited early this morning. I said, man, I wish this time fly fast. Can't hardly wait to see y'all. Thank you for coming. I'd be disappointed if you weren't here. Huh? Praise God. Whew, we got to start, Lord, but maybe we already started, huh? Oh, Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. And life's better with you. I said life's better with you. I thought about wearing my t-shirt and I thought, no, I know there'd be some people wear their t-shirt today and I won't have to. But anyway, let me just say it again, life's better with you. Now look at the person next to you or in front of you or behind you or whatever and say, life's better with you. Come on, everybody's not done it. We're never going to get started if you don't. That's the name of the message today, life's better with you. Try it again. Tell somebody life's better with you. Now look at them and say, my life's better with you. Now say, your life's better with me. We need each other. I don't know if you know that or not, but we need each other. I need you and you need me and we need each other. And it won't be long, it looks like, until when I say, look at the person sitting beside you and say, life's better with you, there will really be somebody sitting beside you. Getting close. Hey, it's ready to break loose. You ready to let it? Life's better with you, and it takes all of us. I want to start off with a scripture, Matthew 22. Now, I'm just going to talk for a little bit today, and I'm not sure they'll show all the scriptures I say on the screen. Don't worry about all that. But you could jot them down and you could spend some time reading some of them this week. But Matthew 22, and I was supposed to say something, but I don't remember what it was. So if I remember while we're talking, I'll just say it in the middle. How about that? The lawyer came to Jesus, and the people, some other people, and they said, Master, teacher, what's the greatest commandment? And this is what Jesus said to him in verse 37. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. But he doesn't stop. He says, and the second is like it. You got that? The second is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, hang all the law and all the prophets. Jesus said, this sums it all up. Love God and love you. This is all of it in a nutshell. It's all I have to know. How many know Christians have been quoting that scripture for 2,000 years and most of us don't even know what it means still? I've decided to learn. I'm not going to stand here and talk to you today like I know. I'm just going to stand here and talk to you like I'm learning. You alive? See, when you get to thinking you know something, you have shut off the possibility of God ever teaching you anything because you already know. And I'm going to promise you, as much as you know, you still just know a little tiny bit about God. Huh? That's exciting. We're going to spend eternity learning about Him. Woo! And every time we get something figured out, He's going to go, we'll see a whole new facet of Him. Excuse me, I didn't mean to get excited. I just want to talk to you today. Oh, but I'm excited. This is more love God. We got that part down. And love each other. We don't got that part down. This is more than me saying I love you when I can't stand your guts. Huh? This is more than me acting like I love you when I really don't like you. This is more than me saying, well, I love you, but I just don't like you. Are you hearing me? This is more than us just putting on a front. This gets down to the core of your being. This gets down to the heart of your soul and your spirit. Because there's love down in that core. And when love is in that core, it starts to flow out. And see, the truth is, we all have the love of God in us, but we haven't learned to let it out. And we'll go get along with God and we'll let it out and let it out and let it out. And then we'll go get with each other and just, don't we? We'll just love God and love God and love God. We come in and our husband or wife says something and we just fly off the handle. We say, I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. And then get mad at somebody on the job. Sound like a tornado, doesn't it? I like that fan. How many was a little hot in here a while ago? Huh? Well, see, when the offerings get big enough, we'll turn the air on every Sunday. No, when we can, we don't turn it on because it takes a lot of money to cool you. But the next time we leave it off and it's like this, like it was a while ago, I'm going to preach on hell. Okay? Let me just say this. I will never fully achieve loving God with all my heart until I learn to love you that way. And that's not just if I like you. And that's not just if you're doing everything I like. I mean, that is also if you're the one that I can't stand. Now, none of you in here are that one, okay? But that means if you're the one I'm the most mad at, you'll never fully accomplish the first one if you don't learn the second one. Now, just so everybody's at ease and rest a little bit, we are learning it here. I'm telling you, we're learning it. Now, we're all works in progress, but we're learning it. But 1 John 4:20 says that this is what it says, I can't love God who I can't see if I can't love you who I do see. Read you a familiar scripture. John 3:16. Well, I've messed up here. John 3:16. Anybody know what that is? Where is that? For God so loved, there's that word again, love. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How many's done that? You've believed in the Lord and you're saved. If you're not saved right now, just say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I want to be saved. I give you my life. I want to live for you. Now help me. Okay? But we know that. But what I want you to see about that verse is that love of God was so rooted and deep set in his spirit, in the inner core of God himself. He loved you so much. He gave the closest thing to his heart, his Son. And if he loved you that much, that must mean that you are just a little bit closer to his heart than that. You ever think about that? I like that. Huh? But now, everybody knows what that means or says, but how many know what 1 John 3:16 says? By this we know love. There's that word again. Because he laid down his life for us. I'm sorry, I just got to take a minute. Thank you, Jesus, for laying down your life. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for loving everybody here. Let us all get a revelation of that before we leave today, that you love us. You love us. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we, how many is a we? Everybody say, I'm a we. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Think those two verses kind of go together a little bit? Huh? Well, now, that's easy to say, but I want to put that in motion. I want to put that in practice. I want to learn to love you like I know that I love God. Does that make sense? Now let me just say this. You have to want something from God before you get it. Brother asked me this morning, I won't point him out. He pulled his cigarettes. He says, how do you get rid of those? And I said, well, first you have to want to. And when you want to so bad, you want to quit more than you want to smoke, you'll quit. I said, or I could just pray for you right now that God will kill you if you smoke another one. He said, I don't want you to pray that, huh? Well, you know, and by the way, smoking won't send you to hell. It'll make you smell like you've been there, but it won't send you there. Huh? Amazing, when I smoked, I didn't think anybody else could smell it. Anyway, let's don't get off on that. I have to want to love you. Now, that's not our nature. Our nature is to kind of be by myself, kind of, you know, don't push me, don't get in my face, don't, you know. Our nature is to kind of withdraw. The natural part of us doesn't really want, because what it boils down to, I don't want you to see what's really inside. Because if you see what's really inside, you won't like me. So I want you to see the mirage that I put on. I want you to see how I am, how I think I am, or how I want to. I want you to just see the image that I portray. But here's the thing. When I really love you, I don't care about any of that stuff. When I really love you, I don't care how much bad you do and how much mess ups you do and or done or will do in the future. If I really love you, I want to help you. That makes sense? Well, but how do I? Okay, I want to start, God, but how do I do that? How do I get started? Let me read you another verse out of Hebrews. Where is that? Hebrews 10. Okay, now, let me just read Hebrews 10:24. It says, let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but let's assemble ourselves together and exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We use that verse to make our people feel guilty. I'm talking about preachers. Make our people feel guilty if they miss church. How many ever had anybody do that? Don't look like I'm just talking to, am I talking to the right people? And listen, that's part of it. You need to assemble. You need to be in church. Okay? Is it okay if I talk to you today like the ones that came instead of the ones that didn't come? You know, we always get on the people that didn't, that came. We get on them for all the people that didn't come. Doesn't make any sense, does it? See, I'm not going to talk to you about all the bad people out there today that are doing all the sin and doing all the, I'm going to talk to you today about the good people, man, the apple of God's eye, the ones that he loves. I'm going to talk to you about you. You are somebody. You have a place. God loves you. You're important to him. I make sure this button keeps coming unbuttoned, Nathan thought I was trying to be sexy a while ago, and I didn't even know the button was unbuttoned, and I thought, well, you know, that wouldn't work even if I tried. So, where am I? Oh, okay. Why is it important to get together? Well, I asked God one time, I said, God, I want to get to know you. And he said, well, Hank, then spend more time with me. How am I going to get to know you? How are we going to get to know each other if we don't spend some time together? Now, I'm not talking about moving in with somebody, bugging them. We all got our own lives. But it's important for us to come together. You know, there's never hardly a week that goes by that somebody doesn't come down by here in front and look me in the eye and say, thank you, Pastor. You gave me just what I needed today. I needed that today. You know what they're saying? They're saying, Hank, you threw a lifeline out to me. I felt like I was sinking, and you threw a lifeline out to me, and I grabbed it, and now I'm not going to sink. I'm going to make it. Huh? Well, I got to hasten on here. But see, here's the thing about that is, though, but you know how many know that that usually wears off by Monday or Tuesday? We need times during the week that somebody can throw a lifeline out to us. You know, the Bible says the thief goes around, the enemy goes around, the devil goes around trying to devour us. He's looking to see whoever he can get, 1 Peter says. Seeking whom he can devour. You know how the easiest way and the best way he devours all of us is to separate us and get us by ourselves. And he'll get me by myself. And because that's where I like to be, is by myself. And you do too, a lot of you. I'd just rather be by myself than put up with you. You know, I'd just rather be by myself than have you have to put up with me. Isn't that kind of the way we think? And when he gets me separated, he can start shooting all kinds of fiery darts in my mind and getting me to think all kinds of ways. Used to, we had a service in the middle of the week. And we could come to service and we could get a lifeline. Well, society has changed. Our lifestyles have changed. So you know what we do now? We have life groups during the week. You need to understand why we have them is because you need a lifeline. You need help. See, I didn't say that like, man, you need help. No, I said, you need help. We all need help. And we need a lifeline oftentimes, but sometimes we need to be a lifeline. Sometimes I can do something, even if I'm not aware of it, I can do something and it just pulls you up, it just builds you up, and you go, yeah, what I was thinking. You might not even say it, but you go, what I was thinking, yeah, that was wrong. Devil, you're a liar. You hearing me? Let me read you Ecclesiastes 4:12 out of the New Living Testament. It says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Woo, I like that. And three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Do you know why the enemy wants you to be by yourself all the time? There it is. Went to Kenny and Diane's cell group this past week. I'm sorry, life group this past week. After 5 or 6 years, it's going to be hard for us to change our mentality, but it's so true. These are life-giving groups. And you know, I sit there and I don't know, man, we talked about so many different things. I don't know what all we talked about, but I sit and watched everybody that was there. And I saw everybody that was there was getting touched. Everybody that was there was, and this one told a story, and then this one said something, and Kenny just kind of, he just kind of orchestrated it. But what I saw was, I saw God moving. I saw him touching. I saw him, you know, I just saw people that, you know, if the devil can get you by yourself, he can make you think that the problem you're having, that you're the only one in the world having it. I hear we had a life group Thursday night with the ladies. Now, I know there's probably somebody was there and don't even know what happened. I don't know how you could be. But God showed up. And ladies came alive. Why? Because we work with each other. We build each other up. We help each other. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But it's important to be together. Let's go on. Now it's not important to be together just to be together. I mean, if that's the case, guys, we don't have to do breakfasts. We won't call it Christian breakfast or anything. We'll just call it VFW or something, you know. Now, I'm not picking on anything. I'm probably in trouble. Hey, I'm a veteran too, okay? So, boy, in today's society, you just don't know what to say. You're going to be wrong no matter what you say somewhere. But I mean no evil, and I'll try to say nothing that offends you, but probably a lot of stuff I say will offend you. But I mean, I'm not talking about meeting, getting together just to get together, because you just got to click. Let me read you something else. I'm getting bogged down here, and I didn't want to do that. Let me read you something out of Ephesians. Chapter 4. Now he starts off here in verse about 8 and talks about Jesus ascending on high and talks about that he led the captives free and he gave gifts to men, and talks about he ascended. That means he descended into the lower parts of the earth. But then in verse 11 he says this. He says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, let me just say something here. I'm not interested in giving you today a lesson on the fivefold ministry, even though the fivefold ministry is very important. The office of pastor, teacher, prophet, evangelist, apostle, those are important. But what I want you to see is why what does God want to accomplish? You know, what does He want to accomplish by us getting together? Just so we think each other's a good guy? It says right here, He says, to equip us for the work of the ministry. Now that's hard on some of you that think the preacher is supposed to do all the work. No, I'm supposed to equip you for the work. And He wants us edified. The body, He wants us edified. You understand what I'm saying? Now we're not going to talk about the fivefold ministry, but let me just say this. I believe the fivefold ministry is more than just the five people that stand up here before you as prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, and whoever I left out. I think the office, well, let me say it so you can explain it. I am a pastor. Now I'm trying to learn how to be a pastor, because I said I was a pastor for a lot of years before I really was one. But I am a pastor. But there are many of you that help me pastor. I want you to understand that these fivefold ministries are more than just a few select individuals. He's talking about His whole body here. And there are people that you pastor. Whether you know it or not, the people that you are around, you pastor the teens. Some of you pastor the ladies. Some of you pastor yourself, your life group. Some of you pastor the people that you're around during the week. Are you with me? See, I'm a teacher also, but I'm not the only teacher. Many of you are teachers. And you're teaching somebody something all the time, right or wrong. Does this make sense? I want you to see what I'm saying. What I'm saying is these gifts and callings flow down through the body of Christ. And we're all involved in it. Because He wants to make you think you're not important. And that's a lie straight out of the pit of hell. If you're just pastoring one person, if you're just helping one person live for God and get established, you're pastoring. I can't pastor without a bunch of you pastoring and helping me. See, I can't take care of all the people, but all of us together can take care of all the people. And in these life groups, we can do that. Not only can we take care of new people coming in, but we can develop the calls in our own lives and become better at it. God has something to use to build into us. Does that make sense? What if he sent, we're having roundup day in here in a few weeks and this building will be full. But you know what? I want Him to send enough people in to where this building's full every week. But what if He was to send us 300 people in here today? Could we take care of them? Could we help them get established? Could we help them grow? If we had life groups going, we could. Well, let's go on. It says, this is what God wants. He wants us equipped for the work of the ministry. He wants those things developed in us. He wants us edified. I mean, you can do more when you're excited than you can when you're discouraged. You're going to influence people every way. You might as well be excited. He goes on and says, till we all come in the unity of the faith, he'd like to see some unity in His body. He can't see that if I don't like you and you don't like me. And I don't know what the preacher's going to say today, but I'll probably won't agree with most of it, you know. Now I'm not talking about you. I know better. You don't have to convince me. You love me, and I don't have to convince you I love you, because we're trying to show each other. True? And I'm going to think the best of you no matter what I hear or no matter what you do or no matter what happens. I'm going to think the best of you. And I hope you're going to do the same for me. But how many know that's something we have to learn? It doesn't just come natural. Talked with a guy the other day, and he had heard me say something and didn't understand it, and he just wasn't sure about me. And after we talked for a while, he said, I was thinking wrong. He said, now I understand. Now I know where you're coming from. What happened was, is we talked until we saw each other's heart. And if you got a heart for God, I don't care how bad you are. I don't care if you smoke like a chimney. I don't care I don't care what you do. If I see you got a heart for God, I'm going to do everything I can to nurture that and help that. And because you're a success waiting to happen. Well, we need to get on here. I'm not going to get done with this. That we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. How many think the more we know about Jesus, the better off we are? I said, how many think the more we know about Jesus, the better off we are? Okay, grunt, or do something, you know. An old hog will grunt if you take him some slop. And I know this is a little better than slop, but... till we become a perfect or a mature person... How many know we're supposed to be growing? We're supposed to be maturing. You can't do that if you stay the way you are. Huh? You have to change. If you stay the way you are, you'll just end up being an old sourpuss. You got to change. We all do. A perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It was predestined that we all be conformed into His image. That we should, this is it, so that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wild doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. You know, you can go online and you can just hear about anything you want to hear, and you can just see about anything that you don't want to see, and you can hear everything you don't want to hear, but you know, there's some weird stuff going on in the devil's kingdom. And the bad thing is, a lot of Christians are falling for it. You need to be somewhere where you're getting a lifeline. You know, that's why it's important to be here today. But you'll find out, and you'll get to a place in your life in the next few weeks and few months that you say, man, I gotta start trying some of these things. I gotta start going to some of these life groups. I gotta get some help. You don't have to just sign up for life to go to one. Just go to one, then go to another one, go to another one. Try them. See if God doesn't do something for you. And in the next few weeks, and some of you already done, but he's going to be just touching your heart about starting one. Anyway, we'll get to that. We'll get to that later. That's not the message today. But he doesn't want us to be tricked, and he said, "But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things in Him who's the head." He'd just like some of us to grow up. He'd just like some of us to be so mature that when somebody came and told us some of that wrong doctrine, some of that goofy stuff that's going around, we just look and say, nope, that's not the cross. That's not the blood of Jesus. And if it gets down to that I'm the only one that remembers it, I'm going to be one that remembers it. How about you? Anyway. Okay, but so this is it, 16, where I was trying to get to. For whom the whole body, joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. And it causes growth in the body, and the body edifies itself. Are you hearing me? See, I'm talking about stuff that the Holy Spirit has to develop in our life. What is He trying to get us to see? He's trying to get us to see that we are to be a body that is knitted together and joined together. That doesn't mean we have to live together. That doesn't mean I have to agree with everything you say or you have to agree with everything I say. But we got to become one. We got to be a body. We got to help each other. We got to lift each other up. We got to edify each other. We got to throw out a lifeline, and then we got to be one. Well, just like there are times that you need a lifeline, there are also times that you need to be one for somebody else. Now that's easy to say, but how do we do that? How does God develop these things? How does he do this? Now we're just talking about starting, because some of you said you wanted to. You wanted to start and learn what this loving each other like we love God is. You with me? Well, let me read you another scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter. How does God do this? I mean, we can get together and we're saying good things and we're talking about Jesus, but how does He do this? Because to do this, this stuff can't come out of our mind. It has to come out of our spirit. It can't be something up here. It has to be something in here. For you to have the power of God in your life, the Holy Spirit has to do something in your life. We're not going to get to the fruits today, but He develops those fruits in our life. But let me read you something here out of 12. It says, now I don't know what scriptures they have, but let me just read it and just listen to me. You just write down 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to talk about spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit here. But it says, there are diversities or there's differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's difference in ministry, but the same Lord. There's a difference, different activities, but the same God who works in all of us. There's a key, God's working in all of us. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us to profit all. What's He saying? He's saying there's all kinds of different gifts out here, and then He goes into naming them here, but there's different gifts out here, and God distributes them. He uses them through exercises them through all of us. They're given to every one of us to use to help each other. You hear me? And then He names them, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the faith, the gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecies, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretations. But one and the same Spirit work all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Now let me tell you, what do you think God could do in the middle of the week? Hell's coming at you from everywhere you turn. Everywhere you look, the devil's sticking his head up. You don't know, come here from Sikkim. You're trying to sort it out, and it comes in your mind, well, Kenny's having a life group today, or Laura and Jake are having a life group today, or Corey's having a life group today, or but just whoever, it just came in your mind, John's having a life group today. It just came in, they're having this thing tonight. Maybe what if you went and God gave somebody a word of wisdom for you, or a word of knowledge for you? What if you were sick and you went to a you needed a lifeline and you went to some place and God used the working of miracles for you, the gifts of healing for you? You see, this isn't something that comes out of the sky, something spooky-wooky. This isn't something that I wish God would do. No, this is something He does through me. He does it through you. If you're sick, you're not supposed to be sick, and I need to get mad about it. If you're hurting, you're not going to be some magic lamp that you rub. Somebody needs to say something or do something that helps you. Helps you not hurt. I got to settle down. Keep me settled down, Corey. Oh, I've asked the wrong guy. I need to ask somebody else. Are you hearing me? This is so powerful. I'm telling you, I'm going to say again what I said last week and what I said at the board meeting last night. God's going to use these life groups to breathe life back into our church. And folks, if He doesn't do it, I don't want to be a part of it anymore. And you don't either. We are tired of playing church. Will the real God please stand up? And He says, I will stand up, Hank, if you will stand up. I'm trying to get taller. This is so powerful. This is so good, we ought to take up another offering. If you was in a restaurant and you was eating food this good, you'd leave the waiter or waitress a tip as big as your bill was, man. I'm not going to take an offer. I'm kidding. I'm trying to get your attention because this is so powerful. If I'm hurting, I need help. And I can sit by myself by my pool all day long praying, God help me, God help me, God help me. But it's not till I get out and get around somebody that He's able to give me the help that I need. And most of the time when you need help, He'll tell you to help somebody else. And while you're helping them, what you are needing will get done and you won't even realize it till after it's over. You go, well, I don't need that anymore. I'm not discouraged anymore. I can't even remember how I was feeling this morning. You hearing me? That's the way we're supposed to leave all that mess behind us too. Pitch a tent and stay there, go ahead, but not me. See, I need to treat you just like I need to be treated. Let me go. I'm not going to get done with all this. Let me just read. It goes on, says, we're many members in one body. Paul through 12 on down here, he uses the physical body as a comparison to our spiritual body, the body of Christ. And he says, we're all members. We're all important. No part of the body is more important than the other. He says some things here. He says, for the body, 14, for the fact, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. He goes on and talks about members. But 18 says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. He knows exactly where I fit and where you fit. I just got to get out here to practicing it before I realize it. How many of you are glad you got a foot? Is that all? You better raise your hand. How many's glad you got a foot? But let me ask you this. How many are more glad that He didn't put your foot on top of your head? Huh? I mean, I'm so thankful I have eyes, but I'm glad I got one on each side instead of one right in the middle. That's the Twilight Zone. Anybody remember that Twilight Zone movie? Yeah, a few of us are old enough to remember that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He knows just where you fit. And you might think you're just a little bitty member, but you're just as important. He goes on here, and I don't have time to go into all of it. I'll need to quit here. But he says much more. He talks about all one part is not more important than the other. If you're an ear, you're important to hear. If you're an eye, you're important. And one's not more important than the other. And he goes on here and says, not much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. See, you may even go, well, I'm not much, I'm not nothing. Yeah, but you're necessary. And my little toe is necessary. You know, I hardly ever look at my little toe. How many of y'all look at your little toe every 15, 20 minutes? I hardly ever look at my little toe. I mean, I don't have to look at it. I just know it's there. Because when I walk, my foot doesn't go like that. It helps my foot stay straight. I just know my little toe's there. I don't pay attention to it. I forget it's even there. But one night here a while back, I was stumbling through in the dark, and there was an end table. I don't know. Pam must have put that out in the middle of the floor because it wasn't there before. And I hit that thing with my little toe. Ah! My little toe instantly became the most important part of my body. And everything in my body was going to that little toe to get it to stop hurting. Man, I was grabbing it. I was talking to it. I was praying for it. I was looking to see if it was still there. You hearing me? Says 23 says members of the body which think to be less honorable on those we are bestowed greater honor and our to bestow greater honor and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. I mean, you know, I've never seen my liver, but I'm glad it's there. It does a lot of good for me. You hearing me? Oh, I could do a whole, I could just pitch 10 here, but we got to quit. Said there should, so that this is what all the body, what we do for each other. It says, so there should be no more schism or no more division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, then all the members rejoice with it. That makes sense? Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. The points I'm trying to make here is we all have a part in each other's life. We all, if you have needs in your life, it's because somebody hadn't listened to God and is not helping to meet those things. But probably if you'll check, you're not helping, letting him use you to meet the needs in other people's lives. So I promise you, if you'll focus on that first, what can I do to help you? I'm trying to get in the habit of saying that. What can I do to help you? Because if I get in the habit of that and I help, and that gets to be my life. I'm not just talking about something I think that's a nice thing to do so I can get together with you and say, oh, I did this the other day. I prayed for them. Oh, I gave them some. Oh, I took them a meatloaf. Oh, I took them a... No, when it gets to be part of my life. You know, I have people come up to me and thank me for doing something, and I'll go, I don't remember doing that. Well, thank you for doing that. I don't remember. Because if I do something for it, it's because God wanted me to do it. So I'm not the important one. I'm just the shovel that he used. Well, this is a lot better than y'all are acting. I'm done. But let me read you one verse and we'll end with this one. Acts. Where is it? Put it on the screen. I've lost it. I've got it somewhere here. Acts 5, yeah. Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease to teach and preach Jesus as the Christ. Now, God's not interested in a weekend affair with you. He calls us the bride. The bride lives with the groom every day. And for so long, the body of Christ, we've tried to have a weekend affair with Him and then go through the week and handle business how we're supposed to handle business, and then get back on the weekend and come to church and get that look on our face and oh, how I love Jesus. And you hearing me? We've all done it. Me, I'm the biggest one, okay? God wants to meet with you every day. What would it be like? What will it be like when we get enough life groups that there's some going on in the day, there's some going on at night, there's you, this one going on over here, there's this one going on there, we're having this one in Carl Junction, we're having this one in Neosho, we're having one in Nevada, hey, we're having this one here, we're having that one there. What's it going to be like whenever people can go and get a lifeline? But you got to remember this, you're not the Savior, Jesus is. You can't throw a lifeline out unless it's His lifeline. And we need to preach Jesus. I said, we need to preach Jesus. And I need Jesus every day. I don't need to feel good. I don't need to any of the rest. I need Jesus every day. And they didn't just go to the temple and they didn't just meet house to house. They told about Jesus. Well, you had enough. You look like the barometer's over, the gas gauge is over at full, so we'll quit. Let me just say this as we quit. I believe God spoke this to my spirit this morning, and even if He did, I'm going to keep believing it because I believe it. How many's part of this church? This church, are y'all listening? Can y'all hear me up there? This church is closer to walking and operating like a New Testament church than we ever dreamed we could be. We are closer to operating like the church in the book of Acts than we ever dreamed we could be. Now, do something with that for a while. Because we can talk about the power, we can talk about the healings, we can talk about all the rest of it, but until that core is set in our being, that word love is set in our deepest, innermost part, and I love you! I love you as much as I love God! Because He loves you so much, He gave Jesus for you. And I don't care if you feel like the most despicable, most insignificant, most unworthy. I love you with the same love that He loved me. Now, that's easy to say. And we all say that today because we're moving. We're coming. You want to know what's going to draw all these lost people in here? It's not going to be because we got a fancy program. It's not going to be because we got a fancy preacher, because you know you don't have that. It's not going to be for you know, because you've thought up this magnificent program. Going to be because they look and see the love of God in this place. They see somebody that really cares. They see somebody that's willing to go the extra mile. See, to love you as much as I love God, I got to get out of my comfort zone and help you. Well, guess that's enough. Maybe part two next week. Everybody stand. Have you learned anything today? If you don't know for sure, I'm believing God will show you during this week. God is so good. God is so good. You say, well, I don't know what all... Just start right where you are. Just say, God, I don't even know what all's been... Hank said today, but I want to be there. I want it. I don't even know how. I don't know where. I don't know nothing else, but I just know I love you, and I want to be used by you, and I want to move with you. Well, I've worked myself up into a lather already here today. Maybe I need to give more so it'd be cooler in here, huh? How many here got Jesus in your heart? If you know right now you died, you know you'd go to heaven. That's so important, folks. Most important thing in the world. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. Who in here, if you died right now, you're not for sure? Come on, we're not going to play peeky-boo and all the rest of that. If you something in your heart, you know you're not saved. You know you don't feel that you're right with God. Who is it in here? Okay, well, you want to know? We're going to sing an invitation here. If you don't know, if there's any question in your mind, just come on down here and let somebody pray with you. I think maybe somebody here today came to be baptized in water. If you just came and needed to be prayed for something, come on down, we'll pray for you. But if you don't know Jesus today, if you're not for sure, maybe you think you have, but you're not for sure, come today. I want you to walk out here today knowing. Let's just sing one verse. If you need to come for anything, come and hurry. It's already 12 o'clock, so I'm not going to prolong it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.